When my babies were going through their exploration stage, I had so much to worry about. Falling over, bumping heads. What did she just put in her mouth? The list was endless. But when they were in Pampers Swaddlers, I knew I never had to worry about a leaky diaper. Swaddlers are great for both baby and mommy. They keep your baby's skin healthy and dry with Pampers Breathe Free Liner, which wicks away wetness, allowing your baby's skin to breathe. Swaddlers have always given me peace of mind, knowing that diaper rash and leaky diapers were not in our future. There's also the new blowout barrier at the back waist to help prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Pampers Swaddlers are dermatologist approved by the Skin Health Alliance, hypoallergenic, and free of parabens and latex. Your baby deserves that. And they're available in a wide range of sizes from newborn to size 8, and now feature designs with the newest animal characters, Shiloh the elephant and Freddy the duck. Having a diaper you can depend on is important, and it's why I have always loved Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand. Download the Pampers Club app today to start earning rewards with every diaper and wipes purchase. Not to mention, get great parenting content with Pampers Club.
People around me gotta be hustlers. People around me gotta be smart. They gotta look good, presentable. Like, all that matters, like, to me. They gotta be, like, driven, you know? Because I got goals. I got dreams that I gotta do.
Danielle is everywhere and doing everything. She's danced on stage with Pitbull, written music for Jennifer Lopez and Cardi B, directed a music video for Prince, and delivered song after song that leaves us feeling empowered, positive, and like Danielle, ready to take on the world. Thank you for waking up and being here. You had a really late night.
I did, but all my lights are like that, so it's cool.
Yeah, I was told you were going to be in studio late. What is it that you're working on?
Right now I'm working on my next album. So I just pretty much got it approved by the label. So I already got like 7 solid songs. So now I'm just like cutting up and just seeing if I catch another like quick another one, like, you know, so just to close it off.
That no, album. I don't know. What does that mean to just catch another one?
I mean, make another hit. You know what I'm saying? I just got to stay in the studio and just record. That's how I make my music. So let's say I make one last day I'm about to turn in my album. I'll just add that to the album because, you know, this is my second album, so I'm putting it all into it. So,
do you know when you write a song, when you record a song, that it's a hit?
Honestly, I think now I just make music that is just like always good. Like, I feel like I don't really make a bad song. So, where the level of is it a hit or is it a good song, that maybe I don't know, because at the end of the day, you never know what's a hit.
What's it like once you're in the booth and you're recording?
Once I'm in the booth recording, I'm just in my element. That's where I close off and I get to just give what I hear right off the jump, you know? That's my favorite, is just being able to be in the booth locked in and just like go through my thoughts, what I'm going through or whatever the case, where the beat takes me, you know?
How much of it is iterative, is a process of you coming out, listening to it, saying, that's not right. Someone else in the booth saying, let's try it another way. Like, how collaborative is that process?
Yeah, I mean, it really just depends on my situation, like who's with me at the time in the studio. I usually just start, I get the beat from the producer, I go in and I literally sit in there, see what how I'm feeling, what I want, what I'm going through at the time, and then literally just like freestyle, sing it, do melodies. And then usually my brother's with me, or my bro Jackson, or my little sister's there actually has been with me too. So it just depends on my circumstance, you know? If they're like, yo, that's it, we're like, all right, cool. Let's keep writing to it. Or if they're like, no, let me try something, I'm like, all right, go ahead.
You're Dominican, your parents are Dominican, but they're Washington Heights Dominicans.
My dad was born in Dominican Republic. Okay. So my mom was born in New York, but they were both raised in New York. So
what kind of music was in your home growing up?
I mean, Dominican music, bachata, merengue, salsa, and then, of course, you know, R&B is another one. Hip-hop, my dad is a big fan of, like, Wu-Tang and, like, the old school, like, classic hip-hop, so.
Where can I hear the Dominican influence in your music?
My last album, I had a song called Yo No Sé. I actually did it with my brother. He's an artist as well, so it's a full Spanish song. But I kind of flipped it in my own. I think the way I do Spanish music is, like, Danielle customized, you know? It has like either a trap influence or a R&B influence, but it's Spanish. So it's like my way of doing it, you know?
Who were your favorite artists growing up?
I loved Alicia Keys. I used to always sing her songs. Jhené Aiko was another one that I loved. Drake, I've always been a Drake fan. Rihanna was another one. Aaliyah, definitely Aaliyah was one that I felt like I could sing her songs. Like, I wasn't a huge singer, so, like, the huge Beyonce and, like, all that, I felt like I couldn't really sing along with it. So I think what I gravitated to was, like, what I, like, could vibe to or sound good on. Mm-hmm. So it was either Janae, Alicia Keys, Aaliyah, Drake. Like, those are things that was my vibe, you know?
Right, well, so much of your story is about figuring out that you didn't need to sound that way in order to be a legitimate singer.
Exactly, exactly. Like, I wasn't confident in my voice at all. I remember back in the day, they'd be like, oh, sing. Because my little sister, she was like 6 years old, sounding like Beyonce. So I was like, nah, I'm not singing. No, I'm cool. So
how did you end up in this family with so many singers and musicians?
I don't know. Because my dad, he could kind of sing, but it's not like he could sing. Mm-hmm. His sister sang in church, so it comes from that side. My dad's name was Beethoven. Like, my mom, she was in the streets dancing in New York, so, and modeling in New York. So it was kind of like she had the dance side. I started dance class when I was, like, 12. So that was, like, a lifestyle, you know, like, doing a sport. It was dance for me.
Even if it was a hobby, it became a profession pretty young. I mean,
yeah,
you were 16, encouraged to move out to L.A.
Yeah.
By whom?
Well, I got signed to a dance agency, Block, and I remember, like, booking a job and having to, like, fly to L.A. and then go back to Orlando.
It's gotta be so trippy.
Yeah, it was too much. So my mom was like, you know what, let's go to L.A. for, like, a month and see, like, what could happen, see if we book more jobs and just get your face out there. And we did it and ended up staying for 10 years. You know, we literally stayed in a one-bedroom apartment.
You, your mom, your sister.
Yeah, and another girl I was in a girl group
with. Oh, Curly Fries, I know all about it.
Yeah, so you know what I'm saying? Like, we was all in one little room, like, grinding it out. Didn't have money. We was in a rental car. Like, it was a grind for real, because when we were in Orlando, we had a nice house. Like, it was, we lived good, you know? But when we moved to L.A., it was like, all right, we starting over and, like, hustling.
What do you think your mom saw in you that it was worth that risk?
I don't know if my mom saw it as big as, like, what it is now. I think she just had, like, belief in me that, like, my little girl is talented. Like, you know, I got signed as a dancer when I had only been training for a couple years. I picked up really fast. So I think that was something she noticed about me. I think for her, it was more like a good, like, career decision, too. Like, it could be something dope, you know? It could take off for her daughter. And I loved it, so she was just with it, you know?
You get to L.A. Did you work right away or was it a struggle?
As a dancer, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like I always had, like, something special about me. Like, anytime I would go to auditions, I'd be right in the front. Like, I made sure, like, I was presentable. Like, my mom, like, put that in us, instilled that in us. Like, show off. Like, do your thing. So I think I was good. I would book jobs. And then I had, like, long red curly hair. So I was, like, different. Like, I would stand out. Like, you know?
Wait, what?
Yeah, I had, like, long red curly hair. It was super long. And no one really had long red curly hair. So when I'd walk in, it was just like, bam, you know?
You've said dancing paid your bills and your parents' bills. Was part of going to L.A. and understanding that you would keep everyone afloat?
No, it was just, like, it was just natural. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, any check we got, we was like, yo, put it into the rent or put it into ourselves, into dance classes or something, you know? So it was more so of, like, a team effort. We was all so close, all of our money, like, we knew everything. So it was just, like, a close thing.
What made you realize you had to quit dancing?
When I didn't get the respect as an artist, you know, because I feel like just because I was behind artists dancing, people didn't take me serious, that I wanted to really do music. But really, dance paid the bills at the time. So what made me be like, yo, I gotta stop, is the fact that dancing wasn't a lot of real money. I'm like, I want to live a certain lifestyle. This isn't it for me. So,
well, what does a dancer make?
I mean, you can make $500 on a music video real quick. That's nothing. You know what I'm saying? You're there for 12 hours. Like, that's nothing. As a lead girl, you can make $1,500, but that's still nothing. Like, that goes. Like, I'm trying to be a millionaire, billionaire. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, and I feel like I got something special about me. And it's cool that now I get to show people who I am with my words versus just my movement.
So when everybody knows you as a dancer, how do you then help them see you as an artist and take things to the next level?
Well, honestly, I think Def Jam, signing to Def Jam was like the biggest thing. Like,
yeah, because 2016, you go into Def Jam, you meet with Tua Clark, who's the VP of A&R, and you played him a bunch of pop tracks.
Yeah.
Wrong decision.
Well, when I first had my label meeting, it was with Epic, with L.A. Reid and Chris Anacunte, and I played all my R&B records, and they didn't like them. So they was like, this is like now. And then I played some of the pop records I had been doing, because at that time, I was really trying to figure it out. I had just broken up with the Curly Fries, so I was like, oh, shit, can I do this by myself? Like, I don't know if I even have a powerful enough voice to be by myself, or... like, I really didn't have that much belief in myself. So I was, like, really working with this type of producer and that type of producer, getting so many different records. I'm a super versatile artist, so I can do all the records. They sound good. But was it really something that I loved? No. But I was doing them. And then when I played it for L.A. Reid and Epic, they loved it. They wanted to sign me off one song. But then I went to Interscope after that, and he loved my Only One record, and that's a straight R&B guitar record. So I'm just like... okay, like, what's up? And then the last meeting with Two, I was with one of the producers that I did a lot of pop records with, so I played all those records. And he liked me because he liked my swag, he liked my image or whatever, but he told me when I left, like, he wasn't going to sign me. Then my producer, Yanni, came in after, and he was, like, just there to play him beats and to play him a couple songs, and he played him a couple of my R&B records. And then Two was like, why didn't she play me this? And he was like, I don't know. And he was like, that saved me. Because he was like, wow, like, your tone, like, is so different. Like, I see your swag and da-da-da. He didn't see that in my meeting. So thank God Yanni came there and, like, helped me.
Isn't that wild, though? Because there's such a lesson. I mean, even if you're not a recording artist, there's such a lesson. And you have to know who you are.
Right.
Because I think sometimes coming up, I thought if I could show people, like, look, I can do everything. Yeah. I can do anything. That actually makes it harder for people to place you. Like, you have to come in and say, this is who I am. This is what I do.
And that's what I was, like, having a hard time finding out. But now I'm so certain. Now I know exactly what I want. Everything I do is, like, me. You know, every song I choose on my album is me. Every video, you know, it's a collaborative thing, but it starts with me.
18 years old. You get an email from Prince. Mm-hmm. First of all, how did you know it was not spam?
Right, that's what everybody asked. I mean, I ended up getting the contact from the email, and it was Maya and Nandy, and they were his dancers. So they were, like, close to his team, and they gave me the call. They're like, Prince wants you to do this, da-da-da-da-da. So that was real for me, you know?
What did the email say?
Prince, the artist, requests Danielle Curiel, I think it was my full name, to submit a choreography submission for his new song, Breakfast Can Wait. Like, it was something like that. So, yeah. And I was like, oh, shoot. And then after I sent him the video of me dancing, he was like, okay, now I want you to write a treatment and direct the video and, like, give you a whole budget. And, like, I want you to do this. I want to get your vision, like, for this video. Yeah, it was crazy.
You realize as you tell the story, it's surreal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's definitely a... it's a huge moment. Like, I even have a song, Curly Fries have a song with Prince. So just, like, having a song with Prince is, like, Beyonce doesn't have a song with Prince. You know what I'm saying? So it's definitely something I, like, take pride in, because it just shows me, like, a legend took recognition of me, like, at that young age. So I'm meant to do this. There's, like, definitely something special about me.
You ever directed a music video before?
Before that video? No.
So, like, what'd you do? Google how do I direct a music video? Like, how'd you step into that?
Pretty much. I had been in music videos, so I was familiar with the set life and, like, directors, saw what they did.
You would hear that you direct a music video for Prince, that Prince takes you on as his mentee, and that's the catapult takeoff moment. But it's not really, right?
No, I think it was just a step for me. It was just a phase. For me, my life is about levels, literally chapters. Like, that was my first chapter. Now I stepped into getting signed to Def Jam and dropping my first EP chapter. Then it's going on tour with Teyana Taylor. Then it's getting gold. Then it's the Kiki challenge for me. Then it's the dropping Lil Baby. That's my first hit. Then it's, like, now Easy Remix with Chris Brown. Like, for me, it's just levels. Like,
do you see the levels as you're going through them, or you only see them retrospectively?
No, I see them as they're going through. I'm like, oh, this is the next level.
It's wild to me when I look at, so Kiki challenge, I've watched the video, as have millions of others. It's wild to me that you had that much success, like, actual accomplishments prior to that viral moment. But it's that moment that for a lot of people puts you on their radar, which is like, you could have had none of what you had before that.
Right. Thank God I did. To me, that gives me so much more respect, because I could have just been a girl who did nothing and just got out the car and danced real quick. And I'm like, oh, let me try to do music now because I have followers. And, you know, I already was doing this. That was just something that helped the world see who I was and see me.
Shopify is your no excuses business partner. Sell without needing to code or design. Just bring your best ideas and Shopify will help you open up shop. Shopify is the e-commerce platform revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide. Whether you're a garage entrepreneur or IPO ready, Shopify is the only tool you need to start, run, and grow your business without the struggle. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big it is you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is truly a global force powering Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 170 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. This is possibility powered by Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Latina. Go to shopify.com/Latina to take your business to the next level today. Shopify.com/Latina.
What's up, everybody? I'm Steve Ott Lewis, a licensed psychotherapist and host of How to Talk to High Achievers About Anything. I'm excited to share big news. How to Talk to High Achievers About Anything is back. This time, I'll be joined by a very special person, someone whose name you know very well.
Hi, everybody. I'm Juleka Lantigua, founder of LWC Studios.
Welcome, Juleka.
I'm so excited. And by the way, I'll be taking notes. So many notes.
As always, on the show, we get to hear stories from Black and brown folks who are out there doing great and amazing things. Then I do my thing of offering some feedback and strategies to help us navigate personal and professional challenges. Together, we'll figure out how to achieve on our own terms.
Subscribe to or follow How to Talk to High Achievers About Anything everywhere you listen to your favorite podcast. On Twitter and Instagram, you can follow the show at Talk to Achievers.
When my babies went through their exploration stage, I had so much to worry about. Falling over, bumping heads. What did she just put in her mouth? The list was endless. But when they were in Pampers Swaddlers, I knew I never had to worry about a leaky diaper. Swaddlers are great for both baby and mommy. They keep your baby's skin healthy and dry with Pampers Breathe Free Liner, which wicks away wetness, allowing your skin to breathe. Swaddlers have always given me peace of mind, knowing that diaper rash and leaky diapers are not in our future. There's also the new blowout barrier at the back waist to help prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Pampers Swaddlers are dermatologist approved by the Skin Health Alliance, hypoallergenic, and free of parabens and latex. Your baby deserves that. And they're available in a wide range of sizes from newborn to size 8, and now feature designs with the newest animal characters, Shiloh the elephant and Freddy the duck. Having a diaper you can depend on is important and is why I have always loved Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand. Download the Pampers Club app today to start earning rewards with every diapers and wipes purchase. Not to mention, get great parenting content with Pampers Club.
Making Latina to Latina has been an incredible ride so far. Now we want to bring you closer to the show by deepening our connection on Patreon. Your monthly support of $5 or $20 or whatever's in your heart to give helps us find new ways to connect and bring together this awesome community. Plus, we have extra perks for Patreon members, everything from early access to the podcast to one-on-one coaching sessions with me or Juleka. Head over to patreon.com/Latina to Latina to join us today. That's patreon.com/Latina to Latina.
Let's talk about your music. Lil Baby is considered your breakout song. How did it come to you?
Lil Baby. I actually recorded it in 2017. I was in the studio with Jazzy, Ism, and Bori. And Ism played the beat, the producer. And it's like, oh, I was like, this is crazy. I was like, how old are you? He's like, I'm 19. I was like, wow, you a little baby. And then Jazzy was like, little baby. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, my little baby. And we were just like, get your breath.
My little baby, change your bracelet. There's a hope for you. Wanna watch that.
And then we just kind of just like started flowing. She started like freestyling. And then we like went in the booth and melodies and then just wrote it out. And it was a quick song that came out fire. We felt it. And then you kind of have like an R&B like versus been waiting to get with you. Like, it's like, it's just different. They said that record's very different. So I'm excited that that was my breakout record, because I always wanted to have, like, stamp on the, I'm a hip hop artist. Like, I'm not a pop artist, because I felt like all these labels were trying to make me that. So I'm like, hey, I broke with my hip hop record, but it still had my, like, taste to it. And it sounded like a record that it was nobody's. Like, you couldn't be like, oh, is that this artist or is that, you know what I'm saying? My tone sounded so different. You knew it was like a new artist. So
for sure. How often when you go into a development meeting, are there other Latinas in the room?
I mean, it depends where I'm at. You know?
Like, is it Latinos understanding you as a Latina, or is it non-Latinos understanding you as a Latina?
I think people sometimes don't know I'm Latina. I think that happens, but I mean, I put it out there. Like, on my Instagram, I got the Dominican flag. Like, like, I rep it, you know what I'm saying? But people sometimes think I'm mixed, or they won't know what I am. Like, I don't think I look straight Hispanic, like, off the jump sometimes. Sometimes people know, sometimes people don't. It just depends. If you're Hispanic, usually my Latinas know I'm Latina with them, you know? So it just depends on, if I'm with a whole bunch of Black people, I could just be a Black person, too. I could be a mixed girl, so people just don't know.
And is that an asset or is that a liability?
It's cool. I think I like it because I don't get boxed in. You know what I mean? I think I could get boxed in if I look straight Hispanic or sounded straight Hispanic, only spoke Spanish. Like, it could make me only be able to do Spanish music, or people would only like that. I speak Spanish as well, but that's my first, is like English, you know?
Play is your anthem for women. What did you want to come across in that song?
It was just a record where, when I did Play, I had just got signed to Def Jam. So that was, like, in the beginning. And it was just like, I just made a play. Like, I just made a play. I just got signed. Like, it was just, like, the start of my, like, turn up, happy, like, motivational records to me. Like, I wanted girls to feel, like, bossed up and, like, kind of say something that males would say, you know? I just made a play.
When have you felt most bossed up?
When I got my check from Def Jam. That was my biggest check I ever got in my life. Like, first, like, six figures in my account. So that was really dope.
I appreciate how transparent you are about the fact that money is important to you.
Yeah. It is. End of the day.
Was it always, or did it become important to you?
I think once I started living a certain lifestyle, it became more important to me to be more of that lifestyle and even more of it. Back then, I was cool, but now it feels good to be able to buy sneakers that I love. Like, you know, it feels good to go out and eat at a nice restaurant now and be able to take care of people. Like, you know what I'm saying? So
I do. And because is it about status or is it about security?
Maybe both. I think security in the sense of, like, feeling secure and, like, feeling, like, on the status tip, feeling like a boss. Like, I work for all this money and I got it. Like, because I work at the end of the day. I'm moving. I'm always working. I'm tired. I'm this and that. So be able to have money, that's what keeps me going, to be honest.
In prepping for this, I mean, I've watched a million videos of you. I've read every interview you've ever done. And there's a dichotomy about you, which is, on one hand, you do carry yourself like a boss. I noticed that the minute you walked in the room. I noticed it every time I read an interview with you. On the other hand, you're very sweet, right? That's part of your entire vibe. And I think sometimes we ask women to choose between those two things, that if a woman is really sweet, then she can't be a boss. Or if she's a boss, then she can't be really sweet.
Right.
And so I wonder how you have managed to maintain both elements of yourself, given that so often women are asked to choose.
Right. It's just my personality. I never want someone to walk away from me and be like, Danny's a bitch. Like, I don't know if I can curse. I'm sorry.
You can curse.
Okay. Like, you know, she's just like, ugh. You know, I never want someone to meet me that way. I always want to have a positive, like, feedback on who I am. Like, you know, like, I always want that. You could be nice and you could be a boss.
Lurkin is among my favorite of your songs. Tell me what inspired it.
I was on Instagram and this guy that didn't even follow me was looking at my story, and I was like, So you literally typed in my name to like look at my page, like, and you're not even following me. So why are you lurking? And then I was in the studio with Goldie and Cosign, and he was like playing on the beat. It's kind of like the same situation. That's how music just happens, like the moment. And I was just like, why are you always lurking? And we just started being like, why are you always lurking? It was just like one of those. And it was so fast. Like the way we wrote that song was so fast because it was just so easy. The topic was there. So we're like, let's talk shit about people lurking on Instagram. Like,
you co-wrote J-Lo's single Dinero with DJ Khaled and Cardi B. You had originally written that track for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you decide to ditch it?
That record, to me, it was dope, but it was kind of very, like, if I'm a new artist, like, I want to come out with a project and show who I am, like, first before coming out with a single like that. I feel like if I would have came out with a single like that, who knows, it could have went number one for me. Like, that would have been lit, but it was just, like, I want money. Like, you know what I mean? I felt like it was too... it wasn't, like, it didn't explain who I was, really, like, you know? So I think that's why I give it away.
So there's no part of you that's like, wait. J-Lo wants it? Like, maybe I need to reconsider.
No.
You're happy to give it away?
Yeah. It's been 3 years since that song. I'm like, nah, like, that would be insane.
Other people in the industry see you as the next Rihanna. Part of the reason I think so many of us are fascinated with her is, like, her sound is so unique.
Mm-hmm.
It's undeniable. She's incredibly talented as an artist, but she's such a savvy businesswoman.
That's,
right?
Yeah.
Like, that's the part of it. Goals. That you're just like, well, like, I don't know that I saw that
exactly
coming. So how do you study that? What's the lesson there? How do you emulate that?
Rihanna made herself a brand. She cuts her hair, everybody will go cut her hair. Like, she made herself a brand using herself. Like, she is the platform of everything that she does. Like, you know, her music, to her style, to her businesses, like, everything she does is based off of Rihanna being her. So that's how I feel about myself. I feel like I'm a star as well, and I feel like I have a certain style to myself. I have a certain drive to myself. So I want to use myself as a platform to make different, like, brands, which is, like, my style. I'm super big in fashion, so I'm inspired by her there. Makeup, she made her money off that makeup, so it's like, that's another thing that I could do, like, you know. So just seeing her moves and how she moves, her business, how smart she is, that's where I get inspired.
How do you know who to surround yourself with? Because that, to me, as an outsider, is a big part of it, too. Is
it's
that
the biggest part, honestly.
You can be mega talented, but you have the wrong people around you.
And you can mess up your whole career. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the most important thing. I'm a super big energy person. I'm a Sagittarius. So if the energy around me is, like, off, I'll be like, what's happening? You know, so that's the most important thing. People around me got to be hustlers. People around me got to be smart. They got to look good, presentable. Like, all that matters, like, to me. They got to be, like, driven, you know? Because imagine you just with a whole bunch of lazy people. Like, what are you going to do? Or they got to be smart. They got to know, like, what's next. They all got to have the same vision. You know what I'm saying? I tell everybody around me, use me. I'm the bread maker right here. So whatever part you have in my circle, like, be outstanding in it. Because I'm an artist. I could only do so much. So if you're my director, make sure you on it. If you're my makeup artist, like, start thinking of things we could do and make money off the makeup using me. Like, you know, so I make sure I tell everybody around me, like, you got to be the best. Like, that's where I'm trying to go.
And then how often are you assessing and reassessing that?
I feel like it's been, like, a lot lately. It'd be so much, man. I think with more success, more money is more problems. Like, people start to change, and, like, it sucks because you really want to stay with people that have been there from the jump, you know? But sometimes you can't stay behind because someone's staying behind. You got to be like, yo, are you coming with me or not? Because, like I said, I still got to do what I got to do. I got goals. I got dreams that I gotta do. So
have you had to kick someone out?
Yeah, I mean, I have had people in my life and they're not in my life anymore. I would say that.
And what have you learned from that?
It's hard. It's one of the hardest things, to be honest, because I'm a super, like, I get attached. Like, I get I'm a big lover. I have a really big heart, so it definitely is hard. Like, it's probably the worst thing, because it makes you feel like, damn, like, am I changing, or is this, like, you know, it's just so much to think about when you're going through things like that, because fame is coming with it all. So it's like a whole, it's like the industry. So it's just like, it's a touchy subject.
Right. I mean, as you get famous,
right,
that authenticity and those personal relationships get so much harder.
Right.
Because you have to have boundaries.
Exactly.
Right. So as you get that fame, as you become a bigger star, what do you use as your touchstones to stay you?
I mean, at the end of the day, I always have my family.
That's they check you?
Yeah. If I ever end up literally by myself, that's when I'm like, yo, I really fucked up. Like, what am I doing? Like, what's going on? So I still have the same people around me. So that's a big thing that makes me stay grounded.
You make it all look easy and you make it look like it's like destiny that has brought you to this moment. Is there a 5-year plan? Is there a 10-year plan?
I plan out my year. I plan out every year that I have, okay. You know, like.
So what's this year?
This year, I'm about to drop my next album in like a couple months, and then I have a tour planned up. And then two months of like the fall, probably going to take a break and then just go back into it. Like, it's all about like recording, getting shows. Now it's stepping into the fashion game. I really want that to be a big part of my brand and like go crazy with that. So
I have every faith that you can. I don't even, the next round, it doesn't even make sense. It's like, mm-hmm. You're going to be you.
Yeah, yeah. That's how I look at it. So yeah, I'm me, you know, thank you.
And you're going to be huge. So when I sit down with you again in 10, 20 years, what's the question you want me to ask you?
How you been, girl? What's it like? I mean, you know, it's going to be a good interview. We'll remember this time. We'll talk about everything back then and then talk about what's going on now. It'll be big. It'll be dope.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, as always, for joining us. Latina to Latina is executive produced and owned by Juleka Lantigua-Williams and me. Maria Muriel is our producer. Carolina Rodriguez is our sound engineer. Emma Forbes is the show's intern. We love hearing from you. Email us at hola@latinatolatina.com. And remember to subscribe or follow us on Radio Public, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you're listening. And please leave a review. It is one of the quickest ways to help us grow as a community.